I've never seen the play Peer Gynt by Henrik Ibsen, and therefore haven't seen any sort of situation in which the incidental music by Edvard Grieg, of which you just heard a sample, shows its true meaning, but the sound of that music has gotten it put onto lots of Halloween concerts over the decades and perhaps even a century or so. It's called In the Hall of the Mountain King from Peer Gynt. The Ibsen play as incidental music provided by Edvard Grieg, and this performance by the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra conducted by Herbert Blomstedt. And that piece, The Hall of the Mountain King, is one of a number that will be performed by the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra, which has its second concert coming up on Friday, a Halloween-themed concert at St. Patrick's. Is it happening at St. Patrick's Church?
Yes.
In Urbana. And our first conversation on Live and Local today has to do with that particular concert. Our second conversation has also to do with a Halloween concert, which is going to be performed by the Illinois Brass Quintet at the University of Illinois School of Music at the Krannert Center, their annual spooktacular concert, which is happening on Sunday. And I'll be talking with University of Illinois School of Music trombone faculty member Elliot Chazanov, who's also, of course, a member of that quintet. We did a feature earlier, I guess it was in the summer, about the St. Pat's Youth Orchestra. I had never heard of it before because it was pretty much brand new, I guess. We have with us three members and, I guess, a sometime member who is also one of the sponsors, courtesy of St. Patrick's Church. Father Joel Phelps is the parochial vicar there. And Noah Larson is one of the co-founders of the group and its associate conductor, is here. He's also a violinist with the ensemble. Lizzie O'Brien, her first concert with the orchestra, is a flutist and piccolo player, is at Centennial High School, a sophomore. I should have said Noah is at University High School on the U of I campus. BJU, a senior at Centennial High School, and plays various instruments, but trombone in this orchestra.
Yes.
And then Father Phelps, you sometimes play trombone in the orchestra too?
Yes.
Tell
third chair. Probably.
About third chair. And is that because you're being nice or because that's where you currently belong, do you think?
I think it's very well deserved. I played trombone from fifth grade through the end of high school. I was in Monticello High School then. So it's been about 10 years since I've played the trombone, really. We tried one time to put together a brass kind of choir or schola for playing in masses and things like that, but it's kind of come out of retirement, and it's been very enjoyable. But yeah, I think the other two trombone players deserve those first two chairs.
And BJU is one of those. Tell me a little bit about the relationship between St. Patrick's Catholic Church and the St. Pat's Youth Orchestra.
Sure. So a couple of the founding members, especially Jack and Matt Reeder, are members there at St. Patrick's, and they had this idea to build up and provide an opportunity for area musicians, youth, to develop and explore and develop their skills as both instrumentalists and conductors or directors, composers. And so they asked if we'd be able to provide resources in terms of space, some advising with Laura Thebe, our music director, and things. So it's something that is a parish organization of sorts, but it's not only restricted to parishioners. It is open to any area youth who desire. So we have from many different high schools and grade schools around, Catholic or non-Catholic, just to provide a place for them to really develop and flourish and grow those great and wonderful gifts.
Noah Larson, as one of the co-founders, along with Jack and Matt Reeder, I guess, and who else was involved in that initial founding?
It's kind of hard to remember that far, but we had a few more violinists. Laura Gallant, who actually plays sometimes at masses at St. Patrick's, she came on as kind of a mentor to us, and she played in our first concert. She'll be playing tomorrow night as well, and a few other friends of ours that go to Centennial and Uni.
From your point of view as a player, what made it seem either necessary or desirable to have a group like this?
I know that a lot of students love to play their instruments, but some may not have the time or real commitment to play with maybe the ECIYO or the Urbana Pops.
ECIYO is the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra.
Yeah, East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. And so we wanted to provide a kind of a bridge between school orchestras and the ECIYO. And and that's how this kind of came about.
You're just given the one concert so far, right?
We've given actually two. Our first was in April, and we had a significantly smaller orchestra at that point.
I guess that's the one that got by me. So it was sometime after that I learned about the group, mm-hmm. and then you did a summer concert.
Yes, we did.
And we had a live preview from some of the players on that particular occasion. This one, Halloween theme. Any particular reason for that other than that it seemed like an easy way to pull some music together?
A lot of people are very, very busy around Christmas time, so we wanted to not exactly avoid doing any Christmas-themed concert or event, but doing a Halloween-themed concert gives us a chance to play some more fun things that people may associate with scariness and Halloween.
And any sort of... I know sometimes these concerts will have a costume contest or something to draw in the younger kids.
Yes.
Anything like that affiliated with this event?
We are... The orchestra itself is not going to dress up, but we do encourage children to come in costume, and we will have, in between some songs, we'll have a little costume parade.
Adults welcome to come in costume as well, I assume?
They can if they want.
Well, I know that, the Illinois Symphony, the professional orchestra based in Springfield and Bloomington, did, I don't know if they still do an annual Halloween concert where they all do come in costume.
Yes.
And I think there's a contest not only for the for members of the audience, but also within the orchestra. I'm not positive of that. So those of you who happen to be in the orchestra or have been to that concert, don't bother to correct me. I already know I'm probably wrong on some point of that. Well, I played one of the pieces that's going to be on the program, which is the Hall of the Mountain King. And you've got some film music, as seems to be obligatory, although I don't know, obligatory for sort of pop-type mm-hmm. concerts, which I guess you could say much of this is anyway.
Yes.
And certainly Harry Potter and the Lord of the Rings can be scary at times. What music are you playing from either of these films? While you tell me this, I'm going to see if I happen to have a recording of it.
Well, I guess they're both medleys, short medleys that contain a few of the pieces from the score. So from the highlights from Harry Potter, we have the famous Hedwig's theme, and then the a lot of other famous themes that you know you've heard from the movie.
And then from Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, we have the Merry Meetings, I think it's called. Yeah. Merry Meetings. And the Ring Goes South. And then the Shadow of the Past is part of that medley as well.
Well, I don't have any of those. How about that? So I'm going to play one that I actually can't remember how this one sounds, but I do. I love those films, the Lord of the Rings I'm talking mm-hmm. about now. And this one, as I recall, certainly should have, if not some... some scariness to it, at least it should have a certain sense of urgency, which is the Ride of the Rohirrim from The Return of the King. I don't know if you remember the Rohirrim are the riders of Rohan who go to the rescue of the city of Gondor as they're being attacked by the forces of Sauron. How do you like that? And this is also from a medley of sorts with the Cincinnati Pops led by Eric Kunzel. The St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra will play some music from Harry Potter and the Lord of the Rings on their concert Friday night. The Ride of the Rohirrim, music by Howard Shore from his score to the film The Return of the King from the trilogy The Lord of the Rings. Eric Kunzel led the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, music from The Lord of the Rings will be on a concert by the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra that will give a concert they're calling Magical Melodies and Monstrous Music this Friday night at 7 p.m. at St. Pat's Parish Center in Urbana. Free admission and other Halloween-themed or at least sort of some sort of magical-themed music on that concert. Our program today on FM 90.9 is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For over 20 years, Silver Creek has served fresh and seasonally current dinners by the fireplace in warm wood ambiance. Silver Creek offers over 100 fine wines and draft beers. Noah Larson, we've heard from, who is a member of the orchestra, also associate conductor, and one of the co-founders of the group. We also have BJ Yu, who plays trombone in the group, and Lizzie O'Brien, who plays flute and piccolo. There are some new pieces on the concert, brand new pieces, I guess, including one by Noah Larson, and also one by John DeAndrea. What is it like for you guys to have a chance to play a premiere of any piece at all? I don't know how many, if you've ever had the chance before or not, and then particularly by one of your peers.
Well, I think it's really great to see something that he's created being played by an orchestra, and especially since it's all student-run. We even have music that's created by students, so it's really cool.
So when you say he, you mean by Noah?
Noah, yes.
Tell me about his piece. It's called Storm, I think?
The Storm.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic, and it's suspenseful. I think it's pretty cool.
Long, short, difficult, easy?
Pretty short.
Yeah. Not much of a challenge for me, at least. There is one part where there's a big glissando on the flute, but other than that, I like the color in it.
Do you have the impression that, and then I'm going to put this question back to Noah, too. Do you have the impression that he had an idea of how to write for the flute?
Yes, I feel like the octaves they're in the right places,
What about for trombone, BJ?
Well, I feel as though it's focused more on the orchestral and the woodwinds. For the brass, it's an interesting key to play in. With all the naturals for a naturally flat instrument, I guess. But, I mean, it still sounds nice and not too difficult for trombone, at least. But it's nice to be able to listen to the entire orchestra and hear the blend across the strings and the woodwinds.
Noah, did you have mostly strings in mind, since that happens to be what you play, is a stringed instrument?
I don't know. I put... I wouldn't say I did. I put some melody and ornamental things in the trumpet and the flute, as Lizzie was talking about the glissando. I don't know. I wrote this piece a few years ago.
So that implies you've been writing music for some time.
A little bit, yeah. Just since, for I'd say, 2 or 3 years.
And what was the impetus behind your deciding to write music in the first place? Was it something you really aspired to, or did somebody make you an assignment? Or
I've loved listening to music for as long as I can remember, and I learned how to write it, and I learned how to just write simple little melodies and stuff. And I've been looking at scores for a long time, so I wrote some stuff down and got a free program to write music on my computer. It's called a MuseScore.
To write music, meaning enables you to notate the music?
Notate, yeah. It's a music notation software.
I was going to say, if you have a program that tells you how to write music, that would be pretty handy.
It would be very much.
I think there are such things, and some schools of music try to develop things like that. This required your own creativity. What about the music by John DeAndrea, which is also on this concert, I think?
That's a really neat piece. That is I don't really want to say funky, but it has a tone to it that could be that sounds a bit like that, I guess. It's
as in, and funky as in funk music, or
I guess so. It's the main melody, which is repeated in the violin ones for a lot of the piece, has accents dug. And I like that rhythm.
Got some good energy to it. What's that piece called?
It's called Skia.
Which meaning?
He said to me once was Greek, I think, for scare. I'm not quite sure about
hence
that.
Hence its appearance on this particular on this particular program. BJ and Lizzie, what about that piece? Is that does that provide different sort of challenges for you, or still sort of violin focused, or because he's an oboist, I think, right?
Yeah, to me, it still focuses more on strings, but the brass have a nice background, and the trombone part actually has a solo, and the trumpets have a little flourish that carry through. So it's a nice balance between all the instruments, and I think everyone has some spot in the spotlight.
And are you the trombone soloist?
No, we're actually playing it in unison.
Oh, I see. So it's a trombone section solo.
Yes.
You play in the marching band at Centennial. Do you also play in the concert band?
Yes, I do.
What for you is the appeal of playing in an orchestra as a trombonist?
I feel as though the music choices are different in a way. Like you could play certain scores that wouldn't be available in like just a woodwind and brass band, you know. So it's very different, but I do enjoy listening to different melodies and being able to play music that I wouldn't have been able to play in a regular concert band setting.
What about for you, Lizzie? I know you're the one of the drum majors of the marching band, also at Centennial, and I presume you play in the concert band there.
Yeah. I am also in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, and so that was basically my first experience being in an orchestra. And I really love both. But being in an orchestra is very different because you're much more responsible for your own part. You're not in as big of a section. It's basically like it's usually one person each part. And so you develop different skills than being in a band where you're mainly trying to like keep intonation with other players of the same instrument, playing the same notes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which can be a challenge for piccolo players.
Yeah.
Or flute players or mm-hmm. wind players in general. But two piccolos is, in my experience, about the worst combination you can have.
Yeah, it's too many.
or for that matter, two of any high-sounding instrument.
Yes.
Because if you add a third one, then you can sort of fill in the space if the other two happen to be slightly out of tune, and it sort of ends up sounding like a little more like one note, but that's a little musical technical speak that is nonetheless generally true. We're talking about the St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra, which is based at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Urbana, where their concert Friday is going to be performed. However, students from throughout Champaign-Urbana, particularly anybody from beyond?
Not that I can think of.
And I know that Father Phelps, you said you're from Monticello, grew up there, but you haven't reached out to folks in that band to join this particular orchestra so far.
No, I think it's just been started in the local area, people who live in Champaign-Urbana that can reach more easily. I think it's be quite a bit of a commitment coming in for practice because they practice quite a bit. That's one thing I've really been impressed with is the commitment, you know, the amount of time that they put into practicing and preparing. The spirit, just not just how excellent they are musically, but just the joy and the kind of spirit of the youth as they come together and things like that. But I think it would be something that would be difficult to really engage in fully if you're commuting, you know, a half hour each way.
So when are your rehearsals and how often do you get together?
Usually they are Saturday nights for about 2.5 hours. This week they've been 3 hours.
Each Saturday night?
Each Saturday night.
Wow. That seems to me anyway, for kids to give up a Saturday night is must be a considerable sacrifice or not really.
We try to make it as almost equally a social experience as it is a musical one. We we have fun during rehearsals. We have breaks and we socialize in the middle of them, and I think it's a nice time.
How big a group for this concert?
About 35, 40.
That's fantastic. And it's free?
Yes. There will be dessert after.
Oh, that's even better.
Better than free.
Better than free.
You get and food to come watch our concert.
Yeah, Halloween-themed food?
Yeah, it will. Yeah, there will be, I guess, some Halloween-themed food, but also a cake, because this is going to be our last concert of our first season that we started in April, and we are going to start back up again with rehearsals in February and hoping for another late April concert.
That'll be fantastic. Have you all developed a website? Or is that to come?
It's
maybe
in development.
In development. Okay, good answer. St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra.
We do have a Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook. That's just St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra.
St. Patrick's Youth Orchestra. Free concert Friday night, 7 o'clock, St. Patrick's Parish Center in Urbana. Magical Melodies and Monstrous Music. One of at least a couple, and I'm sure there are many more, Halloween-themed concerts happening this weekend. Another that is happening Sunday afternoon at the Krannert Center featuring the Illinois Brass Quintet. We will be talking about in just a few minutes here on Live and Local. I want to say thanks to Noah Larson, Lizzie O'Brien, BJU, and Father Joel Phelps for letting us know about the concert today and coming in and sharing a bit with our audience. There is one piece in common, at least one piece in common, between these two particular concerts, and it is called The Funeral March of a Marionette, which sounds curiously macabre, I guess, by Charles Gounod. And since you're all going to be playing the orchestral version and they're going to be playing a version for brass, I thought I would just come somewhere in the middle and play a version I particularly like for bassoons. And this is the Gerznich Bassoon Quintet here on Live and Local. The Funeral March of a Marionette, music by Charles Gounod, played here by the Gerznich Bassoon Quintet on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And here's some music that is of the same theme that we've been talking about, music for, as the St. Pat's concert is called Magical Melodies and Monstrous Music, this probably coming under the former variety, comes from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, music by, I believe this is by John Williams, and Eric Hunzel leading the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Thank you. From the Illinois Brass Quintet's Halloween Spooktacular, I should say, from a previous Spooktacular. The next one, the 10th annual, is coming up this coming Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in the Follinger Great Hall. The Halloween Spooktacular, this year featuring, of course, the Illinois Brass Quintet, also the graduate Brass Quintet at the University of Illinois, and the Cannon Singers from Cannon Elementary School, and the Illinois Trombone Consortium, which will be led by Elliot Chasnoff, who's one of my two guests this portion of Live and Local. Also the UI Tuba Euphonium Quartet, which I imagine is at least organized by my other guest today, who is Mark Moore, the tuba professor at the U of I, Elliot the trombone professor at the U of I, and of course here to talk about the concert. Thanks very much for coming in and joining us on the program today. You might want to pull your microphones a little bit closer.
Good afternoon.
10th annual already.
Yeah.
Is that a surprise to you that it's crept up that quickly?
Yeah, it is. I originally thought about the idea of having a Halloween concert when my daughter was 2, and now she's going to be 12, and it's just amazing how fast the time just flies by.
And I'm guessing that the fact that your daughter's 12 is even more amazing than that you're doing
yeah.
a 10th concert.
Absolutely.
The way I'm told these things go, in any event. And you always do have collaborators at the concert. You've had a dance group a number of the years. Tell me about the Cannon Singers. I don't even know where Cannon Elementary School is.
Cannon Elementary is in Danville.
Mm.
And every year prior to this year, we had the Yankee Ridge dance group from Yankee Ridge Elementary in Urbana. But they had some scheduling difficulties with their enrichment program this fall. So we had originally planned to have both them and the Cannon Singers, but they weren't able to make this year's performance. So we have the Cannon Singers. My wife is actually the general music teacher at Cannon Elementary, and she graciously agreed to have her singing group come over and perform with us.
You've got a lot of different elements to this concert, even more than I seem to remember seeing in the past.
Absolutely.
We're trying to make it a brass showcase, so we wanted to get some of our student groups involved with us also. So we just, as a matter of fact, my tuba quartet is going to play the Gounod March, Funeral March of the Marionettes.
Which we actually
heard. It was famous for Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, right.
But this one is a jazzed up version. It's a swung version. So when I heard it on the internet, I just said, we got to play that one. So that's what we're trying to do, get more students involved.
So that one may be slightly less scary than the usual version.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know if you heard as you were coming in the car or whatever that we did. I played a version for bassoon quintet.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one.
Of that, yeah, which I quite like. It's a really good group. So then the Illinois Trombone Consortium.
It's an advanced octet of some of the best students in the studio, selected by audition. And we're going to do Donald Hunsberger's arrangement of the famous Bach Passacaglia. It's a very, very challenging work for trombones because of the agility of the keyboard in the original rendition by Bach. Transcribed for trombones makes it incredibly challenging because it's very virtuosic.
Well, here's the opening of the original for Bach, and at least we'll get an idea. And then I'm going to imagine, as listening, as perhaps our listeners will as well, how one can handle this on the trombone. Let's see how it goes. That's music by Johann Sebastian Bach, the opening portion of his Paschalia and Fugue in C minor, played here by organist Marie-Claire Alain. And it'll be played by the Illinois Trombone Consortium at the University of Illinois, a student ensemble there, on the concert Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, called the 10th Annual Illinois Brass Quintet Halloween Spooktacular at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And as Elliot Chisnoff mentioned just a bit ago, the arrangement by Donald Hunsberger for trombones. So I'm imagining that part of what makes it difficult is having layers of trombones play that ya-da-da-da-dee-da-da, and I'll bet it passes down the line or something like that. What makes it hard?
It's the horizontal, you know, the line progresses very, very virtuosically, and then it has to line up vertically with the other lines that are layered over top. So it's it's a typical fugal contrapuntal sort of treatment of a line. It's just very, very challenging that way to align everything at that kind of tempo with very fast notes going by.
Do you have to make concessions, tempo concessions, for this situation?
Our tempo is pretty close to the one we just heard. So.
And the piece gets more complex as it goes.
Absolutely.
And therefore
harder.
More difficult.
That's right. That's right.
And makes it – so how does that make a good Halloween piece, do you think?
Well, it's got a certain ominous sort of haunting quality to it, I think. In past years, we've done Bach D minor, fugue, things like – you know, we always seem to get a Bach piece on there on the program, and it seems to fit the Halloween spooktacular theme.
Something
well.
A little bit like, you know, organ music in general sometimes has gotten to, probably courtesy of Phantom of the Opera, the story in general to be scary somehow.
Absolutely.
And if this captures the idea of organ sound. You have other transcriptions on the concert, including some music by Andrea Gabrielli. composer from the 1600s, and his music, and also, I forget, was it brother or father, Giovanni? Or one
He's
way
a nephew.
A nephew, okay.
Right.
Where, you know, they're famous for writing what's called antiphonal music, where you'd have choirs in different parts of the balconies of these enormous cathedrals in Vienna, specifically. You're going to do something like that?
Yes. Yes, we've got the, we're going to have, for the Andrea Gabrielli, we're going to have the Graduate Brass Quintet in one balcony and the Illinois Brass Quintet in the other balcony, with Don Schleicher conducting from the stage. And the piece by Andrea Gabrielli is actually originally a double vocal choir, so it's an antiphonal vocal music that I had transcribed and edited for brass. So it's a little different than the typical Giovanni Gabrielli in that it's really written for voices rather than instruments.
Although there are some of those, I think, by Giovanni that
right,
also
right.
The, might have a combination of both.
Right, the Hodie Christus Natus, I think that we have a recording of is that.
Also originally
vocal. Right.
I think there's a fair number of vocal pieces transcribed for brass. Mickey, how is it that brass seem to do well as voice substitutes and pieces like that?
Well, I think most brass players will tell you that we're always trying to imitate the sound of the voice. It's got to be lyric. It's got to be flowing. It's got to be continuous. It's not about how the valves work or anything like that. It's imitating the voice sound.
And is it partly just by virtue of the fact that you are also a wind instrument that as the voice is, for that matter?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. One of my teachers always said, it's always about the song and not about whatever technical thing you have to do to make the song happen. It's about the song, not the production, but the end product. And so that's what we're striving for. I'll tell my students, and they will imitate and they'll do songs instead of just, you know, playing just any kind of techno music. I'll make them play songs, take Brahms songs, Mahler songs, and play those on their instrument and make it sound as good.
No, just take the notes as they're written for the songs and
yes.
Reproduce. Elliot, you made the arrangement of the piece you just mentioned, Hodie Christus Natus, as Christ is born today, is what that means, by Giovanni Gabrielli from a previous holiday spooktacular. When you make a transcription like that, how are you thinking? How do you make the transfer from voice to brass in your mind?
That's a fantastic question. In fact, in my studio right now, we're working on a unit devoted to exactly that concept. Basically, I try to start with a translation of the text just so I know, or as literal a translation as I can find, so I can sort of know what each word means as accurately as I can. And then I go from punctuation, comma, exclamation point, question mark, semicolon, and try to treat that within the line. And then I also go to the original language and try to find out how each word is pronounced. If it has a hard consonant on the beginning, that's probably going to be the beginning of a slur, because you know, vocal music generally has a very, that's where lyric quality comes from, is from the voice. So it's generally going to be an abundance of slurs, but how do we decide where the slurs begin or how notes are grouped? Usually by looking at gutturals, specifically hard consonants like K, G, T, things like that. And then the other consonants are softer and probably are under the slurs. So I try to really bring out as much of the elocution of the language as I possibly can in the transcription. So I'll go in and really look at the text pretty closely.
That's even more detailed than I somehow expected. One,
sorry.
Although, no, I mean that's fine. I mean, I should have known somehow that you know you would be thinking in that kind of detail to produce something as good as I think we're about to hear. It's the so this is the Illinois Brass Quintet and the Graduate Brass Quintet.
Correct.
From a previous Halloween spooktacular. Featuring those ensembles, this year's rendition is happening Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. ¶¶ The Illinois Brass Quintet and the University of Illinois Graduate Brass Quintet performing together music by Giovanni Gabrielli, Odie Christus Natus Est, in an arrangement by, transcription by, Elliot Chazanoff, who's the trombone professor at the U of I School of Music, and he's also a member of the Illinois Brass Quintet, who are giving their annual, 10th annual, Halloween Spooktacular Sunday afternoon at the Kranitz Center in Urbana. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs today are made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. We also have support from WGLT-FM in Bloomington Normal, hosting Radio Faces on Friday, November 1st, featuring dinner, cocktails, and conversation with Audie Cornish, host of NPR's All Things Considered. Tickets and information are at WGLT.org. And, of course, All Things Considered coming up in about 5 minutes here on FM 90.9. Elliot Chazanoff and Mark Moore are both with us, members of the IBQ, and with us to talk about Sunday's program. You have your annual costume contest, which has become, I'm sure, for especially regular child attendees and probably their parents as well, a highlight of this particular event. When does that happen?
It happens at 2 o'clock in the lobby at Kranert, and we'll probably judge all costumed kids until, I would say, about quarter of 3 before the concert. And during the concert, the winners will be announced. So to get a prize, you have to be there.
In other words, you got to hear the concert.
That's right.
Is that one of the reasons you do the contest, is to get kids to be able to hear music like this, some sort of exposure?
Oh, yeah. That was our original goal when we first started. We wanted to do something for the people in the community. We wanted to have it on Sunday afternoon somewhere close to Halloween so the kids can come. We can't do it on Halloween night because then they have to be out trick-or-treating. So the Sunday afternoon time worked very well.
And have you found that more and more kids participate in the contest, or has it gone up and down over the years?
It goes in cycles, but I remember last year we had a mother with a few children come up to us after the concert and say, "This is what we look forward to every year. This is the concert that we look forward to the most because kids get to come and they get to come in costume and be kids."
Do you happen to have a memory of a favorite costume or the best costume in your own minds?
They've been so good. I mean, some of them, and they're all usually very young and so cute, and it's just we're backstage when they're doing the announcement. We're always trying to look out and see the costumes so we can see who won.
And I assume that. It would be unfair of me to ask and spoil this part of the program to find out what you guys are going to be this year. Because you always dress up. Right?
We're always planning surprises. We're always planning surprises. Yeah, we won't tell anybody, you know.
And I assume the important criterion is that whatever your costume is, that it not impede your ability to play, particularly the trombone, I imagine.
One year we dressed in inflatable sumo wrestler outfits, and I didn't know before we inflated the outfit, but I had a real hard time moving the slide. It was hilarious.
And you've tested them ever since.
Ever since. One year I had a full face mask on, which was very difficult to get the tuba mouthpiece in and out of. So I've changed how I design costumes.
They have to be designed with the brass instrument in mind. It's the Illinois Brass Quintet, 10th Annual Halloween Spooktacular, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Kranitz Center in Urbana. Elliot Chazanoff, Mickey Moore, thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. From a previous rendition of the Spooktacular, here's WYLL's own Roger Cooper joining the ensemble in Fossils from Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals.
At midnight in the museum hall, the fossils gathered for a ball. There were no drums or saxophones, but just the clatter of their bones. Rolling, rattling, carefree circus of mammoth polkas and mazurkas. Pterodactyls and brontosauruses sang ghostly prehistoric choruses. Amid the mastodonic wassail,
I caught the eye of one small fossil. Cheer up, sad world, he said and winked. It's kind of fun to be extinct.